You're not going to want to miss this episode of the AI Show, where Shivani Patel shows us how machine learning, open source, and Azure Machine Learning Service go really well together. Make sure you tune in. Hello and welcome to this episode of the AI Show. As you recall, last week we got to talk to my new BFF, Andy, who works on scikit-learn. He's a core contributor there. And we saw it in action briefly in some notebooks with Azure Machine Learning. I have here someone who I'm going to ask the hard questions to. Shivani, how you doing, my friend?
Good, how are you?
Fantastic. So for those that don't know you, tell us who you are and what you do.
So I am a PM on the Azure Machine Learning Platform team, and I specifically work on some fun open source work, MLflow integration, MLOps, all that kind of stuff.
So let's start with the hard question. Andy last week showed a little bit of scikit-learn, but how integrated are the open source machine learning frameworks inside of Azure Machine Learning? Is this something that you think about?
Yeah, I'm really glad you asked. I actually have, let's switch over to a slide real quick. All right, as you can see here, we do focus on supporting open source frameworks. Our whole goal as a platform is to be open and interoperable. So that means is that we do have support and make it a lot simpler to submit training jobs, as well as, you know, do model deployments with these pre-installed packages and libraries for all the common open source frameworks that you're using. So we definitely have a strong focus on making sure that we're supporting these open source standards as well as the frameworks.
So that's awesome. Generally, when I see open source things running in a notebook, for example, it's always running in the context of the notebooks. Do you have an example or examples of open source frameworks and how they interact with Azure Machine Learning? And then for those that don't even know what Azure Machine Learning is, can you give us an elevator pitch? Let's start with that one first.
Yeah, definitely. So Azure Machine Learning Platform is basically a platform that enables you to track, monitor all of your training runs, your experiments, manage your data, as well as manage the models, as well as the deployments that you're creating. So pretty much we support end-to-end ML lifecycle.
So that's an awesome elevator pitch. But again, like as I said earlier, when I'm running these OSS things, usually all the computation is happening on the notebook itself. How hard is it to move this open source stuff into Azure ML and not just be running on my local host notebook, for example? Do you have any examples of that?
Right, definitely. And I can show you some examples there. So I'm going to switch over to my screen and pop up my example here real quick. Right, so let me actually first show you what I'm running. So we have a set of these examples and notebooks that provide these curated environments that will essentially have all the requirements to run, you know, whichever framework you have. So if we click into one of these, for example, you know, we just talked about scikit-learn, so let's pop into there. You have all these packages and dependencies already installed. So you're going from your local environment, and now you want to run it on, let's say, Azure Compute, a compute instance, or, you know, use GPU, CPU. As long as you're calling these environments, you'll have all those packages already there ready for you. And I can show you an example of that. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So let me see if I'm understanding right. So basically what you do is, in order to run pretty much anything, it looks like, because now that I'm understanding it, if you have this notion of a thing called an environment, and you explicitly declare that environment, you can use that environment and then run it like Carbon, like to stamp out that environment and run the things inside of those environments. Is that right?
Yep, exactly. So you could go ahead and use ones, you know, that we support. Like I said, we pay attention to what common frameworks people are using. We want to make sure it's as easy as possible to go from local to cloud. So we do have that's what we call them, curated environments. Or you can go ahead and create your custom ones. You know, we support that if you have a different framework.
So this is awesome, but it's unclear to me. I understand the YAML file and describe it as it looks like basically a requirements.txt file, which you'd find, but it's a little bit different. How do you translate this YAML file, or this basically requirements.txt file, into something that's running in a different compute context? That part isn't clear to me.
Definitely. And I totally understand that. And I will show you an example of it that'll make it a lot easier to see. So right here, basically, I have this diabetes scikit-learn super common example. Right. And so I have launched this notebook in VS Code. And these are the same examples that I showed you right here. Right. So these are just the examples that I cloned into this workspace. Now, all I'm doing here is calling the workspace that I'm working in, right? Fun stuff. I am grabbing that GitHub repo, and then I'm calling that environment file that you just saw. So just for reference, here's environment file. Here is the scikit-learn example, right? So I'm literally just calling that file, and then I'm defining the environment as that, right? And then defining whatever compute target. For this one, I'm just going to use CPU. And now you can kind of see what's going on in here, right? I have my script, all that fun stuff. So now that I define the environment, I'm basically, you know, calling the environment here. I have this, you know, run defined, the compute target I chose, and now I'm just going to run it.
I see. So let's see if we can back up for a second to see if I'm understanding. So basically, there's this notion of a workspace where all the work happens because it's a workspace. These are the jokes. So it's a workspace. And inside of that workspace, you have any number of things that you call experiments running. And each of these experiments need a something to run and an environment to run in. Am I getting this right?
Exactly.
Okay. And where do these runs actually live or go?
Right. So when you see all of these runs, there's a link here, and I've already pulled it up right here. This is the workspace that I was talking about. So if we zoom in a little bit here, as you can see, we have all the artifacts that you would generally create in your ML lifecycle, right? As I mentioned, you know, we're tracking end-to-end here with Azure Machine Learning. So if I go into my experiments and I see I've ran this quite a number of times, you can go in and see the latest run that I just submitted right here. And you can see the compute target. It was submitted by me. It was a script. And then I have the script name, information about it, you know, which Git commit it came from, as well as any other properties. So you can track all of those runs in this single workspace.
And that's because as I'm starting to think about this, one of the biggest problems that we have in machine learning is this notion of reproducibility, because I might come up with the best model in the universe, you know, on my machine that had my particular conda environment with my particular things, and not being able to replicate it can be a huge problem. But in this case, like, is this running just in a generic compute context? How is this actually running in its own special environment?
Right. So that environment that we're creating, that curated environment that you're creating, we actually log those environments. So when we're creating this environment up here, we scroll back right here, right? So we're defining a environment. It's not only just the environment file, but we're registering it as type of an asset or artifact, right? So it enables you to snapshot all of that, all those packages, all those libraries, so that someone else could go in and reuse it.
That's awesome. And the cool thing, if I'm understanding this right, is that in the workspace, you're also able to collaborate with other people, because it's not just you that can log into that workspace. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. Just another emphasis here on the run configuration is saving that environment. So the actual run that you created is saving that environment. So right here, you can see in the example that not only me, but a few of my colleagues have also submitted their runs here. And so you could pretty much go in and see that information. So this was created by Service Principle. That is not a name. It's another concept, but essentially someone else would come in and create these runs. As long as you have access to this workspace, your admin has given you access, you can go in and resubmit this run.
Awesome. Do you have examples, like, for example, because you just showed a scikit-learn, do you have something in PyTorch or TensorFlow
that
give us the same concepts over again to help them solidify in my head?
Yes, for sure. So I can actually extend this one and show you a little bit how the deployment side of the world works and make sure that we support those frameworks as well. So right here, we have a PyTorch model, you know, going through the same kind of actions. You can see I've got the same workspace. I've got this time a GPU cluster that I've defined. So I have that same PyTorch example again, right here, the environments. And pretty simple, right? We have all these Torch Vision. I don't have to worry about reinstalling it. Fun stuff. And then I have that environment defined, right? And so I will just do a quick little run here. And then defining that this run is going to have that environment registered with it. So when you go in and do a nice little run here. So I have completed this run, so I can show you in the workspace what that exactly looks like. Here, We've got the PyTorch example, again, numerous runs, working really hard here. And so you see the one that I just queued. So here's a previous one that I had completed. Again, you can see where all this information came from. I also have the arguments defined here. And you can see all of this information. Okay, look, and didn't log anything there. You can actually see, go in and see all the logs, all the information, as well as the output model. Now, this is where it gets pretty interesting. So if you go ahead and, you know, see, you know, this one doesn't have any registered models, but if we go back, you can, I can show you an example of one that does have a registered model tied to it. So here's the another example of that scikit-learn run. And so I see the run ID here. And so you can see that this run had an output of this model. All right, so you could do the same thing with that PyTorch run. This is just an example. So it works the same way.
This is really cool. It's like almost like DevOps, but for machine learning type processes.
Yes, exactly. MLOps.
And this brings me to the next question, because I'm familiar with frameworks that generate models for machine learning. But then there's other frameworks that manage like the flow of how things go in machine learning. And that was like the greatest segue of all. Because and I'm thinking about MLflow, which isn't right. necessarily something that you would do to build a model. And it doesn't really fit in the context of like experiments and runs, but it kind of does because it spans across them. Can you describe what MLflow is? And then maybe tell us if that's something that Azure Machine Learning can support.
I see you spying on my little browser here. No, for sure. That's where I mentioned we support open source standards, right? We're not over here creating our own thing. We understand that there's a lot of open source, packages, services out there, and people are already using them. And one of the most common ones is MLflow. So I'm going to just switch over to the slide so you guys can easily visualize what I'm talking about here. So MLflow is basically another open source platform, and it enables you to manage your lifecycle as Azure Machine Learning does. So similar to what I showed you in the workspace, you know, we track experiments, we track deployments, we track models, very similar in that sense. So they kind of have four components to it. They have their tracking for their code, their experiments, very similar to what we do. The way that they submit runs, there's projects. So you can think of that as our run configuration that I just showed you. And then they have MLflow models. So you have, you know, registered models like we do. So instead of kind of battling it out, we are working closely to make sure that both of these can integrate seamlessly. So what that means is that if you are someone that, you know, is running your experimentation or running your training jobs in multiple clouds, you are able to use something like MLflow to track in, you know, Azure, your Azure Machine Learning runs, as well as if you're, you know, running it in some other cloud, you can use MLflow to maintain that source of truth. So whatever you are tracking with MLflow and Azure ML, you know, you can see both of those runs in both of those services.
How does that work? I mean, is it like you already showed me some code where you did some stuff? Is it pretty invasive to introduce it? Or if you already have it, how does this work now?
Yeah, I can actually show you right here. So let's take the existing example we have. I know it's, you know, MLflow, for those that aren't very familiar, it's a little bit of a confusing concept, but they essentially do the same thing that, you know, we do with tracking. There are scenarios where using both MLflow and Azure Machine Learning provides their data scientists more of an end-to-end view of what's actually going on in their whole process. So let's take that same PyTorch example, and I'll show you how, you know, you can start tracking with MLflow. So what you basically do here is point this MLflow tracking URI to your workspace. So what that enables is that all the data or all the runs that are happening in Azure ML will also get tracked in MLflow. So you're pointing to the specific workspace. And then I'm doing the same activities, right? The only difference here is that I'm also setting the MLflow experiment name so that it knows that, you know, this is the experiment that I want to track in MLflow. Very similar, you know, concepts and context. So you don't really have to learn a lot of different concepts to use both of the services together.
And my sense is that that's actually really cool, because maybe you want to do experiments somewhere else and you want to do model management and registry with Azure Machine Learning. using something that's open source like MLflow allows you to pick and choose where you want to do your stuff. Like, for example, Azure Databricks.
Right, exactly. And we have tons of customers that use all three of these services, you know, Databricks, MLflow, and Azure ML, because their scenario is so complex in that sense. They need that flexibility across the different services, as well as the ability to trace across Databricks, Azure. So MLflow is the answer pretty much for that. And so it makes it a lot simpler in that case. And so right here, you know, we see that we've ran that experiment with the experiment name. Everything else is pretty much, you know, as standard, right? We define the run here. You have, we can do a little wait for the run to complete. One thing I wanted to highlight here on the deployment side, it's very, very similar to the way that you deploy in Azure ML right now. So what we've introduced here is doing an MLflow Azure ML deploy. So in this case, after the run is completed, we're just pointing to the path of the run. Even though it is MLflow tracked, you don't have to go in and separately register. The MLflow.AzureML deploy will take that model that you saw in the run. And now let me just show you here. So if we see the outputs here, right? So very similar. I mean, I'm using the scikit-learn example here, but it'll look the same in PyTorch. You have this models folder, right? So it will point to, you can, it'll take the path of this and understand, you know, the syntax, the schema of the model here, and then go ahead and deploy that model. All right, so right here, I'm gonna show you, pop back over here. Let's look at the endpoint. So that one was the PyTorch example. So I can show you the MLflow PyTorch example. So right here, you can see that I have that model ID, the model output that was created from that run, as well as this nice metadata that is being tracked. So, you know, we don't just enable you to track your runs in MLflow. We want to make sure that you have that view of the metadata and the properties that MLflow also tracks on there. And so you'll have the URI, the runs, you know, data you're using. So, and this is in the endpoints, right? In the models, we do the same exact thing. You click into, let's say, that same PyTorch model, you have all this information already filled for you.
So this has been awesome. You basically showed us how with open source, you can create environments so that open source can live. And then we looked at scikit-learn and PyTorch, and there were some other demos in there. We'll put the links below so everyone can see them. And then you showed us an open source framework that looked at a different aspect of machine learning that combined multiple things, not just training runs, for example, and that was MLflow. That was pretty awesome. So where can people go to find out more, or if they want to learn more about these things?
Yeah, we have tons of examples. In addition to the examples that I showed you, we have some MLflow examples that go a little bit deeper into, you know, Keras or TensorFlow, doing auto logging. We'll put the links in the description below, and you can try those out yourself.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for spending some time with us, Shivani. And thank you so much for watching. We've been learning all about open source frameworks inside of Azure Machine Learning Service. Thank you so much. You have an awesome day.